Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge our spiritual growth. Today we are discussing the Holy Spirit in prayer and warfare. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12.
Sometimes we need to quit asking for so many blessings and start asking for a few marching orders.
This is Sharon Hoskins. Please join Janie Ratzliff and I in this challenging conversation. Well, Janie, the Holy Spirit in prayer and warfare, this is a place where we don't really talk about very much, do we?
Well, who likes to go to war, Sharon?
Yeah, absolutely. None of us do. And realizing that the Lord has given us a job to do besides church going and serving in different areas of the church. But there's also a place that not many of us dive into.
Well, I had a term that kind of hit my brain this morning. What does it sound like to you if I say we need to probably do a little bit more on customizing our Christianity? In other words, we have the door of salvation opened up to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth. And then we're told to make disciples. Uh-huh. And so we're really all willing to do that. And as far as our minds are concerned, we need the grace of the salvation to get us out of hell and into heaven and to miss the second death and all of those principles. And then we want to be disciples. We want to be learners of Christ so that we can grow in grace and knowledge. Uh-huh. But there's another aspect that is not talked about much that really takes you into the warfare. And that is after you are becoming a disciple. And I say becoming because it's an ongoing process, then we need to realize what Paul has put such stress on, and that is we need to know that we are a heavenly being and that we really are sojourners here. And we talk about that in general principles, but we don't really detail it out or customize what that is to be a mature Christian. So I think today what we're going to say is we're going to see what it takes to customize our Christianity.
That's an interesting concept.
And for those people who like to maybe remodel, we might be able to throw that in. You just have remodeled your kitchen.
Yeah.
You've changed it. You've done a change up. Or if you're a car fanatic, you know what that means.
Well, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, I think, about being cookie cutter Christians. And we tend to think that we should be like all other Christians. And so you're giving us another aspect to customize our Christianity
And go to a deeper level.
Yeah.
But it's what we've been called to. If we don't apprehend the heavenly man, as Paul defines it, then we're never going to understand Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians. Those are the books that really take you into that. And it's interesting that you can read it at one level, the grace of salvation. Or you can read it at the disciple level to how to treat one another and grow. Or you can get into the deeper level. And we've talked about this a little bit, Sharon, because that's where we started out in Ephesians 1, going to the prayer there. We never really did go on to the prayer in Ephesians 3. So we might talk about those comparison prayers because it preps you for Ephesians 6.
Okay.
Warfare.
Okay. All right. So we're going to Ephesians 3.
Well, yeah, let's just do kind of a comparison between Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3.
Okay.
Okay. So in the first chapter, Paul petitions God for knowledge. And he lists some of the things that God says that he has done. We've called them divine spiritual realities. We've called them the assurance for the Christian, you know, the being sealed, being adopted. Okay.
Right.
And all of those verses are given to us so that we have knowledge of who we have really become because of the work of Jesus Christ. And then from that knowledge, as you go through Ephesians 1, you see that we're being told that this is a revealing, that this is a making known. What good is knowledge, i.e. information, if it just remains spiritual information.
Yeah.
All right. We might get head smart, but, you know, where does that take us to get prepared for eternity?
Right.
So then Ephesians 1 prayer also kind of reveals to us this knowledge.
Okay.
And then it also gives us the enlightenment for knowing how to serve differently. And that's the exhortations you get towards the end of that prayer in Ephesians 1.
Okay.
Now, you flip over to Ephesians 3, and you now have how to love.
Okay.
Okay. And so there's a call to apply what you just learned in Ephesians 1. And so it tells us that we need to know how to love, and then we need to know how to realize that love, which would be a practical application. And then we need to know how to be enabled to do that. And that would be doing differently. So I could say chapter 3 is practice, knowing how to serve differently, and then knowing how to do differently. And so it's neat when you take those concepts, those truths, and do a comparison and just verse-by-verse study, it sets up really how your life needs to be molded if you only had 2 chapters out of the Bible that you could read.
Oh, wow. Okay. So then that prepares us for chapter 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the warfare. And I loved the quote, we need to quit asking for so many blessings and start asking for some marching orders. That brings us to a whole different level of prayer that not many of us are really practicing on a daily basis. We're praying for guidance and direction, but we're not asking what my next step is.
Well, see if you can do a mental picture. Okay, let's just pretend, okay, like we used to do when we were kids, that we're out in the middle of the desert and we're in this tent and the general has called us in and he has said, here is the game plan. Here's a strategy. And he's got a great big map and he's strategizing.
Yes.
Okay, that would kind of be like your learning and your discipleship. This is what we want to do when the enemy moves here and we're going to move this flank over here.
All right.
Well, there's not a lot of threat to that, is there? It's kind of exciting to see how the strategy is going on.
Right.
And then the general says, okay, get your sword, get your shield, get your breastplate,
right,
get your shoes on, and get out there in those sand dunes and fight the enemy. Oh, my word. All of a sudden,
it looks great on paper, but you want me to get out there? Wait a minute.
So you get the word picture, don't you?
Right.
Because you get out there on those sand dunes and all of a sudden there's a storm and you can't see and your eyes are getting pelted with the sand. And all of a sudden you hear sounds of troops rushing and the unknowns start to happen.
Right.
And that's what happens when we go into spiritual warfare. It's not like you can set up a game plan of every unknown attack. So you have to be fortified. And that means we need to have the full armor. What if the general had said, now, get your boots on, get your shield, and get your breastplate. Oh, and by the way, put your helmet on, but, oh, you don't need to worry about your sword. You know, it goes back to the same analogy that we did last week when you said, if you don't have all the digits in place, when you make a telephone call, you don't connect.
Right.
And if you try to go to warfare without the full armor. In fact, do you have Ephesians 6 there? I think it'd be good.
I can get it. But do you think that that's a lot of why we are defeated Christians? That we're trudging a lot, trudge, and we're not really making the headway that that we could be making if we were really covered in that armor.
Well, stop and think, Sharon. There is only one, in Ephesians 6, there's only one piece of armor that is offensive, okay?
Right.
Everything else is defensive.
Uh-huh.
And you really don't have your backside covered because you're supposed to be moving forward offensively and you need that sword. Now, how many precious saints do I know that I have asked them, Well, what about this scripture? Well, what about that? Well, I don't know. Well, I don't really know how to study the Bible, or I really don't memorize the Bible, or my brain won't memorize, and I don't know how to compare scripture with scripture. So if you have precious saints that have the right motive, the right intent, wanting to get in the action, but they are not grounded in the sufficiency of scripture, they're missing a digit, Sharon.
You know, Janie, when I was a young Christian, I asked the question, how do you put on the armor of God? And I asked an older saint. The response, my answer I got was, you read through it and you have it on. You just speak it and you have it on.
Oh, well, now let's be positive as we can be.
Well, I mean,
But if the Spirit is, okay, that works, Sharon. If the Holy Spirit is revealing the scripture to you.
Okay.
But if,
just read through Ephesians, through the armor, and that works?
Well, it doesn't work for me.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a little old and slow, but I have to meditate on that.
Okay.
That's why I ask you to think about a word picture. You know, can you describe the comfort of being in a tent without the sand and the winds blowing or the heat pouring down on you from the sun and no shade? And that not really being a threat because you're inside the tent, but you get out into the elements. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole different ball game.
Right.
Well, I know in the last few weeks, I've been thrown into some elements that are not in my comfort zone of the tent.
Right.
And it's had to make me go back and look at my scriptures with different eyes, asking the Spirit, please reveal what you want to show me right now, because you've got to show me how to move forward.
Right. And so basically what possibly they were saying is that as long as you know your word, the word of God, and you have it in your heart, then you can move forward.
You can move forward and you can then apply it. But Sharon, how many times have we learned through our defeat and our failure?
Yeah. And that's
a great teaching tool. We've always said failure is the back door to success.
Right.
So you don't fear failure, but there is a price for failure.
So this just really goes back to walking in the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to move through us, to speak through us, to bring things to our remembrance and to have the mind of Christ.
Well, yeah. And let's do another practical example. You know, we like to always put skin on the skeleton,
okay.
Right? Okay. The Lord commanded the Israelites, leave Egypt. They did. They had a challenge. God supernaturally let them go through the Red Sea and then brought the waters back together, which was a death, meaning I'm leaving the world. And then the Lord told them, you're headed to Canaan. And that's about a 10 to 12 day march.
Right.
But they didn't immediately set their mind to do what the revealed word of God had given them.
Okay.
And they got sidetracked. And then the Lord said, you go in and spy out, because I'm telling you, this is where you need to go. And you can do it in 10 to 12 days. Well, we know the rest of the story. They went. They were overcome by their circumstances. The giants, even though they said it's a great land flowing with milk and honey. But we're not going there.
Okay.
So they made a bad decision. They did not apply in obedience immediately after they were given the command.
So many times we're getting caught up in our circumstances in this warfare.
Amen.
And the wiles of the devil are pushing us over. The flesh and blood is getting in our way. And so we're looking at flesh and blood and we're accusatory and we're pointing fingers and Satan is having a field day in our lives and defeating us and putting us in corners, hiding rather than with our armor on, standing firm with the sword in hand.
So according to Ephesians 6, that we really aren't supposed to be battling against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, we really don't know how because we don't ever get past the flesh and blood.
Right.
All right.
Right.
And we have been given being overcomers. That's in 1 John 5. It's all over Revelations 2 and 3. But there's an if clause. If you do such and such, mm-hmm. then you will be an overcomer. If you don't, mm-hmm. then it's not that you are not still a member of the family, but you're going to be in a struggled life
right.
rather than a victorious life.
Okay.
And hey, Sharon, there's just a quick point here. One of the reasons that we stay so hung up on the circumstances and the you and me and the people rather mm-hmm. than going on to one warfare is that we fail to do what the Lord says. We fail to find praise for something in everyone.
Okay.
When we've talked about the Bema and we've talked about how much you can suffer loss when mm-hmm. things are brought into accountability, it says in Corinthians that every man will still receive some praise, no matter how minor.
Okay.
So let me give you another practical application. Think of the person right now who is bugging you, giving you the worst battles in your life.
Okay.
All right. You've probably already ran a list.
Yeah.
All the things that they are causing irritation, aggravation, yeah. anxiety.
Uh-huh.
All right. Stop.
Okay.
Find one thing in your heart that you can praise the Lord for them. Right now, just in your mind, think, Lord, this, and this, I'm setting aside.
Okay.
You are holy God and they are your child. And I praise you for such and such.
Okay.
All right. If they are an unbeliever, then you praise the Lord for the opportunity to put forth His truth that they can become a part of the family.
Okay.
Now, can you start yeah. to think about incorporating that as a habit? Lord, uh-huh. I refuse to complain to you mm-hmm. or murmur about such and such as weaknesses. There's only one thing good right now, Lord, that I can think of, but I'm going to praise you for that one thing.
Right.
Now, that's going to start to create a habit and a change in heart and how we look at things. That will help prepare us to then be able to meet up with the powers and the principalities, because we will be standing and operating on the truth of Scripture.
Okay.
Now, does that talk to you?
Yeah, that really makes a lot of sense. And it goes right along with, the forgiving forward.
Yes.
The protocols that we've talked about in the past, that you don't let those things continue to eat away at you. You choose to forgive and you move forward and start asking God to bless them in areas of their life.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that makes total sense. And so that keeps us hung up and keeps us defeated when we don't obey that.
Because what we do is we go to the Lord and beg Him to do something about the situation rather than giving Him a blessing for already taking care of things.
Right.
So we can really very subtly fall into some unbelief. In other words, and I'm going to use the word Susie Q because I don't know a Susie Q, uh-huh. so we're safe. Lord, Susie Q just doesn't get it together. She's always got herself at the forefront. It's always me, myself, and I. And she claims she's got this great ministry and God's doing all these things. But Lord, you know Susie Q's attitude and actions. Mm-hmm. Rather than saying, Father, Susie Q really seems to have a desire, and I want to praise you for the desire that she has. Perhaps it needs to have some refining, Father, but that is the Spirit's job. If you want to use me in saying a word of truth, a mm-hmm. word of encouragement, mm-hmm. then, Lord, make my heart so willing to do that rather than avoid Susie Q because she seems to be in such a mess.
Right.
Now, does that make enough of a practicality?
And that goes right along with we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yes.
We wrestle against the powers and principalities that may have a hold of Susie Q.
Uh-huh.
And so getting back to the spiritual warfare, the warfare that we have to engage uh-huh. in our lives, we are in warfare, whether we like it or not.
There you go.
The problem is we're being defeated so much that it's a lot of times it becomes a way of life.
That we want to go, what is it, AWOL?
Yeah.
We want to be...
We're like, well, whatever, you know, it never works. Prayer never works. My requests
never works,
and they'll never change.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've asked God to change them, and He won't.
Yeah.
It's
so what
really,
can I do?
Yeah, what can I do? And it's really, it comes back to Ephesians 6.
Go ahead, and if you've got your Bible open, go ahead and read verse 16 in Ephesians 6.
Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Okay, now there's a subtlety there, which you will be able to quench. Me and my own strength? I think not. But if I've got the full armor on, then actually I have put on the character of Jesus Christ. And he is actually the one who is going before you to quench the fiery darts.
Okay.
So if you can stop and think, if I don't have my full armor on, those darts are hitting me direct.
Right.
Because I'm not sequenced. Mm-hmm. I don't have the full armor on. If I've got the full armor on, I have put on Jesus Christ. And it's actually him who is deferring those fiery darts, even though he is being the power of God to do that. And by the way, the power of God is always via the cross. That's just a one-liner. The power of God is always via the way of the cross. If you don't understand the cross and all of its implications, then you're going to have a hard time knowing the power of God. And so what's the purpose? Well, we're talking about prayer. So then how about reading verse 18 in Ephesians 6?
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints.
And that's the goal of maturity. All right. And that's why we're talking today about understanding prayer and knowing that you've got to be a heavenly person in your thinking before you can go into this type of living. But it's what we're called to.
Yeah. And really, Janie, we're already in the middle of warfare. We're just not engaging. We're being defeated, trampled, sucked under, knocked over, hit with all kinds of fiery darts.
Good observance, yes.
It's a matter of getting your armor on and living some victorious lives so that, you know, others around us may see the difference. We're not making a difference in our culture today because we're not engaging.
Well, and people can say, but I speak the truth. But if we speak the truth in the tenacity of our own natural being, that's what causes division.
Right.
The truth has got to come through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. So, all right, Janie, that's all the time we have for today.
Where does it go,
I
Cher?
Don't know, but we're going to have to close out for today. You want to close us in prayer?
All right. Father, we've spoken words that we believe come directly from your Spirit and by the power of the Holy Spirit of the Triune Godhead. And Father, when I say make him real in our life, it shudders me if I did not know that the Triune Godhead is sufficient for all. So Father, we want the word to be sufficient, that we will put on the full armor, that we might be effectual soldiers with a heavenly mindset for what you've called us to, because from this time we have been born. So let us put our fears and anxieties at the foot of the cross and pick up our sword and go forward in faith. And we praise you and we love you and we ask these things in your name with joy and thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us for this challenging conversation. We've been discussing the Holy Spirit in prayer and warfare. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ephesians 6:10-13. If you would like to listen to this broadcast again, you can go to SharonHearts.org. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time. And God bless.